Okay, good morning everyone. Very, very warm welcome to today's daily pre-market trade plan live session, which is your opportunity to be as prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities. So good morning everyone. Hope you're all keeping well. Great to have you with us as always. So today now is Tuesday the 23rd of April. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. And we've got a bit of an introduction for you. So please, as always, if we could start with our risk warning, just take a brief moment to familiarize yourself with our risk warning currently up on screen. Good morning, guys. Great to have you back. Sorry about yesterday. Feeling much better, thanks. Great stuff. Okay, on that note then, just as a quick introduction, all profitable traders need to consider not just your trading strategy, but which markets do we focus our attention on? And more importantly, why do we trade those specific markets? Then we look at how we enter and exit those markets. So that's your trading strategy. Outside of that, you need to be able to manage risk effectively. There's the right way to manage risk, and then there is a very careless and sloppy way in which you can manage risk, and we'll hopefully show you practically the correct way to, I suppose, have a chance at being in the markets long enough to learn how to trade them. And that just means perhaps if you're starting out, keeping your risk low and learning the skill, learning how to trade. Trade management is an important feature. We're in our second round of kind of profitable trades at the minute. As you know, we've had a bit of a bearish view in these markets over the last couple of months. We've seen profoundly resilient markets that kept making new highs, even though the data behind it was softening a little bit. And we're managing that second portfolio of decent high probability trades, along with trade psychology as well, all very important features. Okay, so we address these considerations every day in our live trade rooms. That's the first thing. So we trade the European trading session and also the US, and we broadcast live for those. So we get to talk about all of these elements, these important features of these markets. and we're strong advocates of being consistent in our trading approach. Even if the markets are not necessarily moving in our favor, we've still got a particular view of these markets for a specific set of reasons. And it's really sort of getting used to that type of dynamic will really help you moving forward. We're very accurate with the levels we use. So in terms of entries and exits, they have to be predetermined. They need to be accurate in nature and as close to your desired entry as you possibly can. With discipline and be patient as well when necessary. So these are just important headline things to think about. We do have a lot of education, of course, in your members area, which you can begin to work through. So let's then start with a review of potential market moving news. Yeah, good morning, everyone, guys. Hope you're all keeping well, feeling much, much better now. Thank you very much. Yesterday was a bit of a write-off, but yeah, feeling much better now. Great stuff. Okay, so yesterday, nothing of any kind of major concern, really. We're still living with the, the geopolitical backdrop, some of the tensions around central bank monetary policy. You may have noticed the sentiment behind these markets turning really quite bearish. We do have bond yields pushing higher. We've got a 2-year very close to that 5% mark. We still have inverted markets, of course, significantly inverted markets. But we're up at these elevated levels. This is an increasing sort of risky backdrop, which is feeding into that anxiety, that negative sort of sentiment that we're seeing across these financial markets. And as a result, we are seeing, I suppose, we are seeing the markets move in a very kind of controlled fashion. You'll see what I mean when we look at the technical charts now in just a second. But market fundamentals have definitely shifted to this sort of bearish dynamic. It's like as if the markets have just fully woken up and just realized, oh, okay, the Fed are actually going to keep rates higher for longer. There's this sort of realization that we were wondering what was going to be the catalyst for that. And clearly the CPI backdrop coming in above expectations was the final piece really to that sort of bearish momentum, which, as you know, we've been trading quite successfully over the last few weeks. So today now, Tuesday the 23rd, we do have a series of manufacturing services PMI numbers. We're looking for the forecast. So the majority of these forecasts are actually looking, well, they're looking a little bit better now than they were perhaps 6 months ago, where a lot of these numbers were certainly forecasted in the contraction territory. So above 50 represents expansion, below 50 represents contraction. So as you can see, French manufacturing is expected to be contracting with a number of 46.9. But then you look at something like German flash services. So we're seeing certainly a bit of an improvement on the services side. And it's been like that for a little while now. Manufacturing performing, unfortunately, not as well as the services. And we've seen a lot of services type inflation as well. So services performing really well, PMI numbers across the board. UK manufacturing and services PMI numbers expected to come in, you know, expansionary. And we'll see if that's the case. Same situation for the US. And the US is probably the outlier. The performance of US manufacturing PMI and services data is expected to come in more positively than perhaps other sort of locations. Okay, we've got Richmond Manufacturing Index as well, expected to be in negative territory. So just as a quick look through then at the week ahead, We're going to get Australian CPI in the early hours of tomorrow morning. I suppose sticky is the word that we're kind of seeing. We had been seeing certain improvements across these sort of major central banks, but inflation is definitely being held. And year on year for the Australian economy, it's up at 3.4, very similar to the US. There's a few bank holidays this week, just to be mindful of. We're going to get the unemployment numbers and growth figures on Thursday for the US. So you can see the growth. There was a bit of an upside surprise last quarter, which kind of supported the, I suppose, that very significant positive sentiment that we saw in the first quarter of this year, in the last sort of 3-4 months. We've seen an outsized, quite positive reaction. As you can see, it's looking a little bit more conservative, let's say. Okay, so we'll see how, you know, you would imagine if advanced GDP numbers quarter on quarter come in below expectation, that really probably wouldn't be good news for the US equity markets. Unemployment claims are just stuck around that 210 to 215 level. We have surprising numbers of this 212 number. It's quite a frequent print. And then on Friday, we're going to finish with the BOJ. So it will be important to have a quick look at the BOJ. In fact, we shall do it now in just a moment. So we've got a few kind of important elements to focus our attention on. So as you're probably aware, our bias in many of these markets is very much to the downside. And as a result, we're able to position ourselves again into the S&P, the NASDAQ to the downside. So let me get up our pen. So we absolutely have this downside view of these markets from very important levels. And we're expecting continuation. So we got a little bit of a bounce back yesterday. I suppose the price action from a technical perspective, looking at the daily timeframes, which is what we're really doing. Yesterday's little bounce is just that. It's not as convincing as perhaps you would expect it to be. So we have a risk-off market condition that we're looking to further exploit, and we'll see if we're able to do that or not. You can see, just looking at the commodities on the right-hand side of the screen, what we've seen from crude oil is a really strong rejection, as you know, with conflict still building in the Middle East. You could argue that over the last couple of days, it's gone a little bit quiet, and we have pulled back into support levels. So we will be looking at some point for the opportunity to start buying crude oil. And this looks like we're creating a bit of a floor and a ceiling here. So we'll break that down and see if there is a genuine buying opportunity. But as many of you know, the price of crude oil is going to react to the shifting geopolitical sort of backdrop between all the power brokers in the Middle East. So if there is further conflict, if Iran then retaliate back towards Israel, we've seen a bit of tit for tat in a variety of different ways over the last number of weeks. The price is going to react accordingly. So obviously the US are probably working hard to sort of drive this price lower going into an election at the end of the year, whereas conflict in the Middle East is likely to be a bit of a problem. So our bias, we've had the pullback, we've got prices just sitting around this level. We're down at $81. If the conflict in the Middle East starts to reemerge and we see Iran attack Israel again, then we'll see a bit of a rally. So in addition, we're looking at commodities. It's interesting to see this strong sell-off. which is in favor of kind of a strong dollar. We're not really seeing a really strong dollar elsewhere to any great extent, but we are seeing gold begin to sell off. Now, the question is, why is this market selling off quite aggressively? That's an important question. We'd expected to pull back into support, so we're looking for support levels around these individual markets. So, and we'd be looking for previous highs on the way down. So we'd be looking for this market to pull back into the 2220. We will ask whether there is a short-term sell opportunity to get involved in. It does look like there is. But as you can see, we probably have sort of a mildly bearish backdrop to these markets. The fundamentals are quite bearish. The sentiment are quite bearish. We're seeing bond yields continue to rally. We will be keeping a close eye out on corporate earnings. They could absolutely move the dial, like we saw a little bit yesterday. So we'll be mindful of some of the major names after hours that will be releasing their earnings. So that's our bias. We're already in those specific trades, as you can see. Let me bring up the S&P. So as you know, we went on a bit of a, if I just take these off, these markets since the end of August, sorry, the end of October of last year, went on this pretty significant extended rally, way beyond our expectations. We were kind of with this rally to a reasonable extent, and then it just kind of continued to power and continued to make new highs, even though the data in the background began to shift. So we were anticipating this little market rollover a lot earlier, but we are getting the rollover. We are getting the pullback trade. So our expectation for the S&P, we're not necessarily perma bears. We're not necessarily, you know, shifting our old bias and only exclusively looking for bear trade, for sell trades. We are currently right now, but if we come back into these support levels and we get opportunities to start buying, we may look to take that. So we always want to keep our options open, depending on the data, depending on the sentiment and the fundamentals behind these markets. So for right now, we're happy to see continuation to the downside. We had a big move on Friday. We had the pullback yesterday, but our bias is still lower for now. Same sort of situation for the NASDAQ. We'd be expecting a bit of a rollover too. Right, we've actually got back to that support level. So that's interesting. The next level down is probably closer to the 16,200 level. So corrective move across these US indices. Friday's selling was really quite significant, but look at the bounce in markets like the Dow Jones. Strong, strong bounce on Friday and actually ended, you know, significantly positive. A rally yesterday. Now the question mark is, where do we move from here? We're going to try and preempt that. So we'd be looking for this market to pull back into the 17,000 level. We had a bit of a strong rally on Friday. And we're seeing this little bit of a bounce and a little bit of a short-term rally in the German Nikkei as well. We did get these markets moving down to these levels. So it does fit in. Some of these markets do fit in with a little bit of, I suppose, coherent. Some of these markets are bouncing off levels, which we would expect, the NASDAQ, the Nikkei. So our bias for now is still to the downside for these markets. We'll be looking at the S&P and the NASDAQ very, very carefully. We're already positioned in those trades. And if we get the opportunity to add to those trades, that's exactly what we'll be looking to do. Okay, you see, I've said this, that this market hasn't really kind of moved in line with expectations. So we've had a bit of a risk-off market move. And yet, over the last 2, 4, 6, 7 days. We've not made that much progress. We're just above and below this. In fact, this current price is pretty accurate, the 0650 level. So the question for us is, are we going to sort of get a little bit of a short-term rally? Or will we actually break to the downside? Now, our bias, as soon as we broke below this level in here, which is previous monthly lows, and it is technically the 107 as well, our bias is very much to the downside. So it's a trade that we are very comfortable sticking with. And that's continuation to the downside for the euro dollar. Same analysis really across the dollar pairs, further downside for the pound. Good strong rally yesterday, further lower. We've been in this trade now, doing really well on it. But as you can see, there's nothing but air really below these levels. So there's no reason to really get out too soon, especially if the dollar does continue to strengthen, which we anticipate it probably will do. So the speculators in the dollar yen keep pushing the BOJ. So they threatened the markets with intervention back at 152. Now we're up at pretty much 155, and there is no sign of any kind of intervention just yet. Even the selling from Friday came back and bounced back really quite aggressively. Okay, so the dollar Swiss, our expectation is for this market to rally. We have a few of these trades that are still primed, and if we get above the 91.50 level, we'd be looking to see if we can catch this next rally. The reason why we say this market is a bit strange with the dollar Swiss and markets like the euro dollar is that they've been in a little bit of a sideways pattern over the last week or so, and yes, they could be creating a bit of a floor and ceiling, at which point we want to buy above resistance and see if we can capitalize on that kind of breakout above this little range in here. That's what we'd be looking for, and the dollar Swiss could be a good opportunity for that with further dollar strength. Okay, the dollar CAD, a bit of a rollover to the downside over the last week, but as you can see, we haven't really bounced back into support. If we came back to these monthly highs, we'd be looking for the next opportunity to start to rally to the upside. Aussie dollar, our bias is lower in favor of the dollar against the Aussie, as well as these other currencies. And this is an area at which we would be looking to start selling. So just inside this little zone here. And that's currently where we are. So we rally to the downside. You bounce back into resistance. And maybe we might get an opportunity to start selling at these current prices. So again, really, we're looking for dollar strength across the board. Same type of analysis for the New Zealand dollar. The biggest problem with the New Zealand dollar is we're in this little sideways pattern, and we're looking for that little breakout to the downside. So we've got quite a few of these trades. The euro dollar, we've got the dollar Swiss, we've got markets like the Aussie dollar all pulling back into resistance, into previous resistance, which previous support, which now becomes resistance, and opportunities in the Aussie dollar and the New Zealand dollar if we get a breakout in those trades. So that dollar strength trade is not fully complete yet. There's still more dollar strength to really focus our attention on. We don't really like the yen pairs to any great extent. You can see the pound yen and euro yen, they're kind of in a bit of a sideways moving pattern, and there's significant volatility in those trades as well. So maybe unless we get a little bit more clarity in some of the yen pairs, perhaps it's worth just taking a little bit of a pause on that yen. When the BOJ do step in, the volatility will be extreme. So we do know that in advance. And the question is, when will they step in? And they haven't done so yet. So we will see it with significant volatility when it happens. We've been anticipating this for the best part of two years nearly, and we still have yet to see, and the yen keeps weakening across the board. This is a very interesting move. You could argue, okay, if the dollar's strong, you'll see gold begin to roll over to the downside, but the dollar is mildly strong, and as you can see in big markets like the euro dollar, dollar Swiss, Aussie dollar, New Zealand dollar, you can see the CAD even strengthening a little bit against the dollar. The dollar is not really in fantastic shape. Now, if this rally occurred probably over the last 2 weeks ago, perhaps, there'd be much more of an incentive to start selling gold. But as we know, central banks have been buying up as much gold as they can over the last couple of years. So what is the reason for this? We don't really have the clarity that we would like to feel as comfortable as we ordinarily would do. So actually a significant amount of selling. So really, I suppose there is a technical sell. There is an opportunity to sell at 2300 and expect these prices to come back to 2220. That would just be purely a technical play. Bit difficult to get to double guess the fundamentals in gold at the minute. So then that brings us back to the commodities, sorry, to the indices markets, which we have a strong bias for now in markets like the the S&P and the NASDAQ. Okay, so let's amend this currently on screen, and then we'll switch over to our trading the European Open mentorship room, where we look to put this trade plan into action. So so on Friday we were looking at this risk off stroke flight to safety market conditions due to further conflict between Israel and Iran. If you remember last Thursday, we saw a retaliation on last Thursday night. We saw retaliation from Israel and Iran, and we saw a lot of sort of market volatility. So we can just simplify it. The conflict in the Middle East has died down a little bit to some extent. So honestly, we have kind of a mixed backdrop, which is the first port of call. It's like, do you have a green light to start buying? Do you have a red light almost to start selling? And are these market? Is the market summary? Is it positive? Is it negative? At the minute, it's a little bit mixed. It's like as if it's just taking a breather almost. So as a result, we've still got a strong focus on weakness across the indices markets. And if they start to roll back over to the downside, we'll be monitoring some of these corporate earnings. If that gives us a trigger to actually start selling these equity markets, we'll be looking to build a little bit more of a portfolio of global indices sell trades. And then just broad dollar strength. So we've got some decent opportunities potentially in the euro dollar, the dollar Swiss, the Aussie dollar, New Zealand dollar. We may need to be a little bit on the selective side with those trades. We're not interested in trading the dollar yen just yet until we get some more information from the BOJ. The pound dollar is, we're already in it, but has, we saw significant selling yesterday. So we did see on last Friday, we did see some significant volatility overnight. We are looking to see how these markets move from current prices. Patience, of course, is always required. So it's not a particularly exciting. We're not even too comfortable selling gold. So just to conclude then, we want to keep kind of all other options open. So what does that mean? we want to look to see what the dollar does next. We're currently in a bit of a sideways pattern across most of these markets. And then we're looking at things like the commodity markets, so gold and oil. Crude oil has kind of pulled back to the $81 level, which we would be instinctively interested in buying that around that sort of price. Obviously, the market fundamentals will be important in that decision. But gold, there's just a technical play. So do we want to go against the momentum? Probably not. So let's keep all of our options open so we can broadly have a bearish bias to global industry markets. We can broadly have a focus on some dollar strength. So it's a case of adding to our current profitable positions. I think be selective, I think, is fair. There is probably three or four primed opportunities. I would stay probably away from the others. And in terms of other markets like gold and oil, we'll probably keep other options open. And also the equity markets as well, we'll continue to review them as we go. So look, I'm going to post this into the chat box so you can cut and paste it or take it away with you or make note of it if you need. And we'll switch rooms now, if that's okay, guys. So as always, thanks very much for joining us. Apologies about the inconvenience yesterday, but we're back on target, hopefully. And I'll see you guys in the mentorship room if you can join us. In terms of market narrative, we've been talking about the shift from quite a dovish Fed to quite a hawkish Fed over the last couple of months. We've only seen that realize in the last 2 weeks or so, two and a bit weeks maybe, where we've started to see the equities, the risk-off trade begin to feature more prominently. And I think the US inflation numbers was the catalyst for that sort of final piece to the jigsaw. US indices lower, dollar higher. We're still focusing on that narrative to really underpin our trades, with US bond yields pushing higher, which is what we're seeing. And we're seeing a little bit of weakness on the equity side, on the commodity side. So a lot of these trades are kind of falling into place. I suppose there is the need really to be a bit cautious or a bit patient really at this current point. So that's where our live trade rooms come in. They allow us to apply and narrow down and focus on the opportunities and when to pull the trigger on those trades. And of course, whatever decision we make, we post into our signal service anyway. All right, great stuff. Sorry, guys, this has gone on a little bit longer than anticipated, but thanks very much for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next time. If you are interested in learning how to trade, you can access one of our discounted live trading and education bundles on our website. It does start from just $59 per calendar month. For more information, just go to livetrading.com. We'll speak to you there. Great stuff. On that note, guys, listen, thanks very much for joining us as always. We'll see you in the next room very shortly, and we'll speak to you soon. Take care, guys. Bye for now.